Let's go to Acts chapter 9, and we'll begin there this morning. Acts chapter 9, and we're going to talk about a man named Saul, Saul of Tarsus, who was a Pharisee who thought that this thing called the Way, or these people who followed this man Jesus, he literally thought they were a cult. And his mission in life was to eradicate this cult from the face of the earth. And so he proceeded to do so and thought he was doing God a favor. Notice Acts chapter 9, verse 1. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks.' And he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what would you have me to do?' And the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do.' And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink." Now, this is the account of the Apostle Paul's dramatic encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And while he was in process of persecuting Christians, he had a personal encounter with Jesus. Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, knocked him off his horse, and the glory of God blinded him to the degree that when he was finished having this conversation, opened his eyes and still couldn't see. Now, you might ask, what in the world does this have to do with the person of the Holy Spirit? It has a lot to do with the person of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit reveals himself or manifests himself several different ways. We looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul talked about the gifts or the manifestations of the Spirit. Actually, he talked about three categories of things. He talks about gifts, he talks about ministries, and he talks about operations. And he lets us know it's the same Spirit, even though the Holy Spirit may manifest himself different ways. It's the same Lord who propels people to serve, if you will. And it is the same God who works all of these gifts in all of these ministries. And the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is not just for the preachers or the pulpit. And you'll see that as we proceed with this story about this man named Saul who became the Apostle Paul. But he had an encounter with Jesus that was so shocking, so sudden, and so violent. Violent, I don't mean that in a way that anybody was injured or hurt, but suddenly happened on the scene and left this man unable to see. I mean, that's a pretty strong encounter. And so now they're leading him by the hand. They take him to Damascus, Syria, and he is dwelling in a home. Now, I want you to notice the next verse and see what the Lord did right after this. And verse 10. "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias." Now, I want you to know that this is the only place in Scripture where this man Ananias is mentioned. And notice that he's not identified as a pastor or an evangelist or a prophet or an apostle. In other words, he was just a regular disciple like you and like me. And the Lord spoke to him in a vision. Notice verse 10. "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Behold, I'm here, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying. And he has seen in a vision you, a man named Ananias, coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered and said, Lord, I've heard many things of this man, how much evil he's done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind or to arrest all that call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go your way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and of the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, Ananias proceeded to obey the Lord, went down to Damascus, and inquired about the house of Judas, and found Saul. And verse 17, it says, And Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared to you on the way as you came, has sent me, that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. He received his sight forthwith, arose, and was baptized. And after he had eaten and was strengthened, then was Saul certain days with the disciples at Damascus. But what I want you to see is that the Holy Spirit manifested himself to this guy named Ananias. And he had a vision, saw Jesus, heard Jesus. And Jesus told him where to go and what to do. Now, that is in part how the Holy Spirit at times reveals things. And I want you to notice that when he reveals things, he's always very specific. Amen. He told him exactly where to go, whose house he was in, and what he was doing. Amen. See, when the Holy Spirit manifests himself, he doesn't do it with vague generalities. You know what I mean? And I've seen people who purported to have the ministry of a prophet or have revelation, and they always talk about general things that would fit half the congregation. You know what I mean? And you're going to meet a tall, dark stranger. Well, whoop-de-doo. What else is new? You know? And so we have to be careful with that. But in the Old Testament, in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28, Joel said this, It'll come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And it'll come to pass in that day that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered or will be saved. He was talking about after Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit came into his earthly ministry. And so we have this element of the nature of the Holy Spirit where he reveals things. As I said earlier and in an earlier lesson, there are three gifts or manifestations of the Holy Spirit that say something. Those are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. There are three gifts or manifestations of the Holy Spirit that reveal something. And those are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits or seeing into the realm of spirits. That's what happened here. Paul had a vision because he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. Ananias had a vision, and I don't know all the details, I don't know how it worked, but it could be he was sitting at his dining room table reading the scripture, and Jesus walked through the wall and said, Ananias. He said, Yeah, I'm over here, Lord. He said, I want you to go to a certain town, to a certain street. There's a house there that's named by owned by a certain guy, and there's a man in that house named Saul, and he's praying. He's had a vision. He's seen you come and minister to it. And then Ananias did something strange. He asked Jesus a question. You know, are you sure, Lord? I've heard a lot of things about this guy. See, I grew up in an environment where my grandma always said, don't question God. You ever hear that one? Don't question God. Well, what does that mean? In my mind, that means don't ask him any questions. But yet Ananias asked him a question. Are you sure, Lord? I've heard a lot of things about this guy. He said, no, go on. He's a chosen vessel to me, and I'm going to show him some things. So Ananias proceeded to obey the Lord based on what Jesus told him, listen to me now, in a vision. You with me? Visions do happen from time to time. Are visions things that we should seek after? No. This thing happened because the Holy Spirit wanted it to happen. This thing happened when Ananias was minding his own business. He wasn't actively trying to see something or hear something. You know, most of the time when the Lord speaks to me, He does it when I'm just minding my own business. And I'm not talking about the times of prayer or fasting. I had the Lord speak to me recently, and you know what I was doing? Painting. Painting. I was painting around the exterior of my house. I'm just minding my own business, stroking with the brush. And the Holy Spirit started speaking to me about ministry and about things. You know why He does that? Because most of the time, that's when we get quiet. That's when we're not cluttered with all the stuff that we have to deal with every day. You with me? And so I'm painting, and the Lord's speaking to me about things I need to do. And, I know His voice. I've known it for decades. And so I say, okay, Lord, yeah, I'll do it. But most of the time when these things happen, they will happen when you don't expect them. And when you're not looking for it. Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, what is the key to developing that good relationship with the Holy Spirit? Always live your life in such a way where you have that quiet time before the Lord.
Amen.
Where you make yourself available so that He can speak to you.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
I'm sure if Ananias had been on the back 40, trying to break in a horse, he probably wouldn't have heard the Lord Jesus that day. Maybe Jesus would have waited until he settled down later in the day. But my point is simply this. Ananias saw into the realm of spirits. Jesus walked into his home, had a conversation with him. So Ananias followed through on what he'd seen. Remember that. Ananias followed through on what he had seen and what he'd heard. And notice that the Holy Spirit revealed something to him with specifics. I want you to inquire at a certain house on a certain street because there's a certain guy in that house and he's praying. And he's seen you coming in, laying your hands on him that he might receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he proceeded to follow through. Now, here's what I want you to see. Because of this encounter with Jesus, it changed Saul's life. He became known as Paul the Apostle. And it proves two things. Number one, God's purpose can transform any life. Number two, God has a sense of humor. Here's the guy who was persecuting the church. And now he's had a dramatic conversion. He's believed on Jesus, made him the Lord of his life. And now the Lord has called him to preach that message, the same message that he persecuted. Now, this is a serious thing because this caused Paul problems for years. Many times he would want to go preach someplace and the people wouldn't let him come because they thought it was a trap. Oh, we remember you. You arrested my cousin Vinny. And Vinny went to jail because of you. No, you ain't ministering over here. This is nothing more than a trap. You see what I mean? And so Barnabas had to get involved and take Paul and introduce him to people and say, hey, this guy had an experience with God. He's all right. See, we need to have enough sense to know that when people encounter the Lord Jesus Christ, He changes them.
Amen.
And so we need to see them the way God sees them, not see them based on what they used to do.
Amen.
And some Christian people have a hard time with that. I don't. You with me? But some people do. They remember you from way back when. Oh, yeah. I remember you. You used to run with me and do this, that, and the other. Well, that was then. This is now. Amen? Never try to determine your destiny by your past. What you used to do has nothing to do with what God has planned for you. Absolutely nothing. So here, this guy who went from the chief problem-causing persecutor of the church is now leading the charge, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there was a time when he had to sit and learn some things. There was a time when his ministry had to gain credibility and he had to be accepted. There were times, you know, he stayed at the church at Antioch for 10 years. And after this encounter with Jesus, he didn't go hang out with Luke and, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He didn't hang out with these guys. Well, Luke was not one of the original followers of Jesus. He came along later. But he didn't go hang out with Peter. It was 15 years before he saw these guys. And when he did see them, he sat down and told them the revelation that Jesus had given him. And they said, yeah, that's God. You with me? So for the most part, he stayed away while the Lord taught him some things. But it took a while for him to be accepted. Anybody ever been there? Many times people out of fear will not accept you simply because for no other reason than this. They're afraid. They're afraid you're going to take something of theirs. They're going to afraid you're going to hurt them. And so they put up this wall called fear. Don't let that bother you. You always live your life according to purpose. Do what God has called you to do. You'll encounter some people who are just plain afraid. And they may not trust you, may not receive you. Don't let that stop you. Go on anyway. You with me? Well, you know, they wouldn't have me come preach over there. I remember one minister, he happened to be black. And he went to a church. They invited him. They didn't know he was black. And he showed up. And they said, we got a problem. You can't preach here. He said, why not? Well, we just don't do that. Do what? We just don't have black people preach at our church. Sorry. And so this man's driving back home. He's crying out to the Lord. Said, Lord, they wouldn't let me preach. He said, don't worry about it. He said, but Lord, he said, they wouldn't even let me in the place. He said, the Lord said to him, they won't let me in either. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. They won't let me in either. And so we've got to realize that, listen, we're not limited, we're not defined, and we're not hindered by people. The only thing that will limit, hinder, or define you is you. That's it. That's the only thing that will limit, hinder, or define you. You. But once you have a vision from God, take that thing, nurture it, develop it, and run with it. And I don't care who doesn't trust you. I don't care who doesn't know you. I don't care where he sends you. If you'll follow after him, you will prevail. Amen. And see, and that's the thing that all of us have to deal with in life. God has an assignment for each and every one of us. And so what we need to do is get that instruction from him. Now, he'll give it to you many different ways. Maybe he'll just bring it up in your spirit. Maybe you'll hear something from somebody else. Who knows? Maybe you'll have a vision. Maybe you'll have a dream. But whatever he says to you, like Jesus' mother said at the wedding feast, whatever he says to you, do it. And don't worry about people. Don't worry about people. Well, they don't like me. So what? That does not relieve you of your obligation. Are you with me? But after this encounter, Saul, who became Paul, had some real issues. He had some stuff to overcome. Yes, he was a learned man. Yes, he was very educated. But he counted all of that stuff as mess. He wanted to know Jesus and exhibit his power by the Holy Spirit. And so here we have a dramatic encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and an everyday disciple named Ananias, who has a vision, receives instructions from the Lord Jesus, and follows through. Now listen, you never know who you are ministering to or who you're helping or who you're blessing. You never know. So when the Lord gives you revelation and tells you to go do something, follow through. Ananias lays hands on this guy who's the chief persecutor of the church, and the guy ends up writing 2/3 of the New Testament. What if Ananias hadn't done what the Lord told him to do? things would be different, wouldn't they? But see, God is not looking for people who have all the smarts, all the education, all the elements. He's looking for people who will just plain obey Him. And you know what? He knew Ananias would obey Him. That's why he showed up that day. And the thing that I always find interesting, I like to read the Bible through human eyes instead of rose-colored glasses or religious tradition. Think about if you'd be sitting at your dining room table. Think about this now. And what if Jesus walked through your wall and said, Alonzo, here's what I want you to do. Now, how shocking would that be? You know, as a pastor, many times I visit people's homes and I have to go to the houses. I remember one time years ago, this is just look, if this is you, just smile, look straight ahead, nobody will know. But I remember once knocking on a door, and I just happened to be in the neighborhood, knocked on the door. And, normally before I come to somebody's home, I call, okay? So relax, everybody relax. I call. And I knocked on the door, happened to be in the neighborhood, and I could hear people behind the door. Who is it? I think it's Pastor Bill. What? It's Pastor Bill. Get rid of it. Get that off the tape. Get that out of there. And I heard, just a minute. You know, get that out of here. They were getting stuff out of the room before I came in. Come on, man. I'm not going to melt. But what if Jesus showed up? He ain't going to knock on your door. He's going to walk right in the room and stand right next to you and say, hey, Hannah. So, the Lord knew when He walked in Ananias' room, Ananias was not going to be shocked, wasn't going to pass out, wasn't going to have to hide something. You know what I mean? Ananias said, yeah, I'm over here, Lord. Amen? We should all live our lives that way. Just be ready all the time. Amen? Hey, God wants to use you. He wants to use, just like He used Ananias to lay hands on Paul. And Paul had his sight restored, got filled with the Holy Ghost because a disciple laid his hands on him. This is the man years later who would lay his hands on handkerchiefs and aprons. And these cloths were sent to the sick and demon-possessed, and their bodies were healed and the evil spirits left. Where did it begin? When he met Jesus and when Ananias laid hands on him and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. A certain disciple had a revelation from the Lord Jesus and followed through. And my point is, when you have something revealed to you, He wants you to follow through. Amen. Just follow through. If you're not sure, call me. I'll help you. Amen. Pastor Bill, Jesus walked in my room this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did it shock you? You know, it felt so natural. That's good. Amen. But here we can see all of these revelation gifts in operation. Now turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I want to show you something now. We're talking about revelation gifts. Gifts that reveal something. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 16. He said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. And He will show you things to come. It's the nature of the Holy Spirit to reveal. So when you're born again, you have Jesus living in you. He will reveal things to you. He will guide you into all truth. We have to understand and remember, the truth of God never changes, but things do. And so He will lead us and guide us. He'll take us by the hand. Now, notice Acts chapter 10. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea, this is verse 1, called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now that word always, I have it underlined in my Bible. It's an interesting word. It's the Greek word diapontos. And the word diapontos means it was his habit. That means he did it constantly. He always prayed. See, prayer doesn't have to be some big formal ritual that you do. But prayer is nothing more than face-to-face communion with God. Amen. And you can do that all the time. Amen? And this was this man's habit. He was a prayer. Verse 3. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, this is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, an angel of God coming into him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. Now, if you saw your angel, you'd be afraid too. They're not little fat babies with wings. The Bible says they excel in strength. But the writer of Hebrews says they are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. That means you and me. There was one time in the Old Testament where an angel went through the Assyrian camp. They were surrounding Israel and they had intent to destroy them. God dispatched one angel. That one angel went through the Assyrian camp that night and killed 186,000 men in one night. Angels don't play. You with me? So Cornelius is praying. All of a sudden he has a vision. An angel walks in the room and calls his name. Cornelius was afraid. Notice this. He saw a vision evidently about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, an angel of God coming into him, saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers, notice this, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. And he shall tell you what you ought to do. And when the angel which spoke to Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, one a devout soldier that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Now, here's something that I want you to see. The angel said to Cornelius, Your prayers and your giving have come up as a memorial before God. Notice he didn't just say your prayers. He said your prayers and your gifts. Your prayers and your giving have come up as a memorial before God. Now that's a strange expression. What does it mean? Paul wrote and said something similar to Timothy. He said, Of whom I make remembrance of you in my prayers. Paul was saying, I'm praying for you and I often remind God about you and what you're doing. And what it is, it paints a picture of somebody building a memorial in heaven. So that every time God moves and turns around, he sees that memorial. And what this angel told Cornelius, he said, Your praying and your giving have come up as a memorial before God. In other words, God moves in heaven and he sees what you've done.
Amen.
Some people think, well, it's not important if I give or not. Well, that's not what God thinks. Amen?
Amen?
And there's this principle of honor. Honor the Lord with your giving and with the first fruits of all your increase. That's where we start.
Right.
You with me?
Yeah.
But this guy, if you read the original language, it says he gave continually. And not only did he give continually, he gave a lot.
Amen.
He was in a position, he was blessed of God, he gave a lot to help people.
Amen.
And God took note of it. And here Cornelius is a devout man. Now listen to me carefully. He's a devout man. He gives a lot and he prays all the time. But God knew there was something missing. And so he wanted him to get what he needed. So he sent an angel. Now why did he send an angel? I don't know. Maybe the believers around there were lazy and he couldn't get one of them to go. I'm thinking out loud. Why did he have to send an angel when he could have spoke to somebody in Caesarea and said, I want you to go to Cornelius. I don't, maybe they were intimidated. Maybe they didn't understand things of the Spirit. Maybe they were just lazy. And God said, you know what? This guy prays so much and gives so much. I've got to get him the right information. All right, you, number 329, go down there and talk to him. Tell him where to go. Tell him where to find Peter. And so the angel shows up. Said, hey, your giving and your prayers have come up as a memorial before God. He sent me to tell you where to go, and they'll tell you what to do.
Amen.
Even though this man was a giver, even though this man was devout, even though this man prayed, he was still lost without Jesus.
Amen.
And God made sure he had the right information so that he could enter into the kingdom of God. There are a lot of devout, religious, godly people who without Jesus Christ will miss heaven. And so God's doing his best to get them the right information. And if he can't get you to go, then he might just send an angel.
Amen.
Well, when he knocks on my door and asks me to go, I'm going.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
You ain't sending an angel in my place.
Amen.
But I'm just thinking out loud, but maybe that's why God sent an angel, because the Christians around there were lazy or intimidated. Why? Cornelius says, I ain't going up there. Man, them folk, you know, they're liable to think, you know, I can't go up there. Why not? Lord told you to go, go. Amen? I really do believe that God tried to get believers to go and they wouldn't. So he sent an angel. Well, they sent this angel. He told Cornelius, I want you to go to a certain place, to a certain street, inquire in a certain house, and ask for a certain guy. Notice the specificity. Whenever the Holy Spirit reveals things, he does it with specifics, not broad generalities. Now, Peter, at the time, was in Joppa, and if you read the background information, Peter had gone down to Joppa because one of the Christian women had died. And they went and got Peter and brought him to Joppa, and they said, look what she's done. I mean, we need this woman. So Peter went in and prayed and raised that woman from the dead. That was working of miracles. And then, this is the next day or the day after, he goes up on the housetop while they're fixing, preparing breakfast, and he's praying. And all of a sudden, he has a vision. And he sees this sheet come down from heaven with all these creatures on it that it was unlawful for him to eat under the Levitical law. You got to remember, Peter was a Jew. So were all the disciples. So was Jesus. And they lived by the law of Moses. The law of Moses had laws that had to do with diet. There were certain things you didn't eat. And so he sees all these things coming down from heaven on this sheet. He fell into a trance. Now, what does it mean to fall into a trance? Well, he's up there praying, minding his own business. All of a sudden, everything became suspended. And all he saw was this vision. And he hears a voice from heaven saying, rise, Peter, kill it and eat. And Peter, being like most of us, I ain't eating that. Lord, nothing unclean has ever crossed these lips. And he saw this three times. And the voice saying, rise, Peter, slay and eat. He's like, no, Lord. I mean, there were things on this sheet that were forbidden under the Levitical law. You know, there were birds you don't eat. There were snakes on this thing. These animals were alive. You've seen this. Like, you know, rise, Peter, slay and eat. No, that's unclean. So then he hears a voice from heaven saying, don't call unclean what I have cleansed.
Amen.
Now, while he's thinking on the vision, these men from Cornelius' house come to the gate. And Peter can hear them asking for him. And then the Holy Spirit says to him, go with them and don't doubt a thing. So now Peter is starting to put two and two together. Whoa, the Lord wants me to do something. And so these guys come and tell Peter what happened. You know, we work for a guy named Cornelius in Caesarea. He had a vision at 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. And an angel walked in the room and told him to send us to get you so that you could tell him what he needs to do. And so Peter, being an Orthodox Jew, realizes that God wants him to go speak to these Gentiles for a reason. And that's why God gave him the vision. So he realized, wow, this must be okay, this is God. Now listen, it was against the law, the Levitical law, for a Jew to go into a Gentile home like that. Now, the Levitical law doesn't specifically forbid it, but the Talmud does, which was the writings that some of the Jewish scholars put together. And they included a lot of tradition and stuff. I mean, if you went into the home of a Gentile boy, they call you before the council. Boy, you done missed it. You know you ain't supposed to be in the house of them unclean people. You with me? And so that's why the Pharisees asked Jesus one time, they asked him, you know, why don't your disciples wash their hands after the tradition of the elders? He wasn't talking about basic hygiene. They had a tradition that they washed and washed and washed and washed and washed because they didn't want to eat with hands that had touched a Jew, who had touched a Jew, who had touched a Jew, who had touched a Gentile. And so they did this ceremonial washing to show how holy and how clean they were. So God had to get through Peter's thinking. And listen, you have to understand that Jesus' ministry and Peter's ministry, for the most part, had been only to the nation of Israel. They did not minister to Gentiles. Are you with me? Remember the story in Mark chapter 7, that Syrophoenician woman who came into the house when they went north of Israel to Lebanon just to rest and get away? And she had a daughter who was tormented by a demon. And she said, Lord, help me. And he ignored her. And then she cried out. The disciples said, Lord, do something. She's crying after us. And Jesus said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, my ministry is not to you. And she came and fell down and worshipped him and said, Lord, help me. And he said, it's not right to take the bread that belongs to the children and give it to the dogs, the pets. She said, yeah, that may be true, but even they get what the children miss. And he said, woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. See, there's something about faith that goes beyond covenant. There's something about faith that goes beyond the law. And he knew that she had faith and God met her need even though she didn't deserve it. She wasn't part of the covenant. So that's the mindset that Peter has. Gentiles are outside the covenant. And our ministry so far has been to the Jew. And so now he has a vision about unclean things. God saying, don't call what I've cleansed unclean. And now these men appear at the gate. And so he goes with them and takes some of the brothers with him and goes to Cornelius' household. And Cornelius repeats what had happened. And he said, I've got my whole family, I've got all my friends, I've got all my neighbors, and we're here to listen to what you have to say. And so Peter begins to preach Jesus to that audience. And he tells them how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And he told them, you heard these things because it wasn't done in a corner. And while he's preaching, guess what happened? The Holy Ghost fell. Fell on all them that heard the word. Peter didn't pray for them. There was no altar call. Nobody got baptized yet. They just all started lifting their hands, speaking with tongues. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And Peter's shocked. And he said to the brothers that were with him, he said, man, they got the Holy Ghost just like we did on the day of Pentecost. He said, man, can we got to baptize these people because they received the Holy Ghost just like we did. How did he know? For he heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. I always tell people, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you can speak with tongues too. Amen? And magnify God, because that's just what he does. So listen, all of this happened because one man had a vision and he followed through. And because he followed through, not only was he saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, but all of his family and all of his friends and all of his neighbors. And the same thing will happen with us if we'll just follow through on the revelation that the Lord gives us. You may not see an angel, you may not see Jesus, but you may hear the Spirit's voice. You may just have a gentle prompting on the inside of you. However he reveals himself to you, follow through. Follow through. Now listen, the Holy Spirit will do things like that in order to capture people's attention, to bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus. But there are times he will do things like that to help you prepare for the future. There are times he will do things like that to save your life. The Holy Spirit reveals things because he cares about you. But if we live our lives isolated and sheltered from a relationship with the Holy Spirit, we're going to miss out. We're going to miss out. He cares about you and your everyday life. I remember many years ago, I'm working third shift in a convenience store while I'm going to Bible college. And I worked in a store, a Quick Trip store, on North Lewis Avenue in North Tulsa. Bad neighborhood. I mean, most of the guys that I worked with carried heat. And I'm not talking about those little packets you rub to keep your hands warm. I mean firearms. My first night on the job on the north side of Tulsa, a guy handed me a pistol, didn't even know my name. And I looked at him, I said, "What's that?" He said, "That's a 22." I said, "I'm not carrying a gun." He said, "Oh, you must be one of them Rhema Bible guys." I said, "Yeah, I go to," he couldn't even pronounce it right. "Yeah, I go to Rhema, but I'm not carrying your gun." And this is what he said to me. "You stick around a couple weeks, you'll carry the gun." And I'm praying, I said, "Oh Lord, what'd I get myself into? What'd I get myself into?" And, but, you know, I had made a decision. I don't belong to Satan anymore. I'm not part of his kingdom. He has no rights to me. And so I just let him know, "Look, you can't rob me, steal from me, kill me. I won't let you do it. I'm going to go to work with peace and grace. I'm not going to be afraid, and I'm not carrying a firearm." Amen? And so I worked up there 2.5 years, never got robbed, never had a fight, never had anything of mine stolen. Now, I had a couple glorious opportunities come my way, but God saw me through them. Amen? But anyway, I'm driving to work one night. Actually, it was late in the afternoon. And I drove the same way to work every day. Never varied. It was the quickest way to get to the store. So I'm driving, and I'm approaching an intersection. It's a four-lane road both ways. And I'm approaching an intersection. Oklahoma's flat. You can see for miles. And in this section, it was really clear. There were no buildings or, you know, it wasn't real built up. And so I'm coming up to this intersection. The light's red. And I'm probably 300 or 400 yards away. And I could see the side light turn yellow. So I knew by the time I get to the intersection, I'm going to have a green light. And so I'm in the left lane. I'm cruising along. I didn't slow down. Then my light turns green. I'm probably 75 yards from the intersection. It's green. And I'm proceeding through the intersection. All of a sudden, I heard a voice. It said, "Stop. Don't go through the intersection." Now, this happened in a moment, just like that. And I heard it audibly. Now, if you'd have been in the car, I don't know if you'd have heard it, but I heard it. He said, "Stop. Don't go through the intersection." I got the green light. And so I hit the brakes, slowed down to a stop, looked to my left, and I saw a brown Lincoln Town Car with a bad muffler. I can still hear that car today. I watched him run the red light, doing about 70 miles an hour. Now, I was driving my baby blue Volkswagen Rabbit. Vinyl seats with no air conditioning in Oklahoma. And I stopped as this guy ran the red light. And as he barreled down the road, all I could say was, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Now, why did he do that? He knew that guy was going to run that light. I couldn't see him. And had I not listened to the Holy Ghost, I'd have been right in that intersection and he'd have hit me in my driver's side door. Now, why does the Holy Spirit reveal things like that? Because he cares about you. Amen. He wants you to come out okay. Amen. You know, the devil has a plan for your life just like God does. And his plan is threefold: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And listen, he is determined. Jesus said it like this: "The thief cometh not." Or you could say it like this: "The only reason he comes is to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Amen. And all of the kingdom of darkness has one motto: steal, kill, and destroy. And they're determined to do it. Now, you want to have victory in your life? Learn to listen to the Holy Spirit and you be more determined to follow after the things of God, to hear His voice and follow through. You know why some Christians lose and are defeated? Because they're not as committed as the kingdom of darkness is. They're not as organized as the kingdom of darkness is. They're not as disciplined as the kingdom of darkness is. We need to be like Cornelius. Prayer's a habit. I just do it all the time. You with me?
Amen.
Giving's a habit. I just do it all the time.
Amen.
You with me?
Amen.
I'm committed. I'm organized. I'm determined. And when you live that way, you'll be able to hear His voice.
Amen.
When you live that way, when He walks in the room, you won't be shocked. When you live that way, when you hear a voice from heaven, you'll say, "Yeah, Lord, what is it? What do you want me to do?"
Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah. You won't be shocked. I know a man, his name happened to be Cornelius. And until this brother went to be with the Lord, he was always share with me his testimony. He said, "Bill," he said, "I remember when I met Jesus. I was sitting on my bed in the corner of my room, and I heard a voice booming from heaven saying, 'Cornelius, you need to come to Jesus.'" And I thought, wow, what an experience. Most of us don't hear a booming voice from heaven. But it made such an impact on him. He got saved, came to Jesus, and lived for God the rest of his days. Amen?
Amen?
Because he heard a voice from heaven. Well, most of the time, God doesn't do it that way. He wants you to hear a voice from a person.
Amen.
And even if he's got to send an angel down there, he'll get the job done.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
But hopefully he won't have to do that here. He can speak to one of y'all, and y'all will follow through.
Amen?
Amen? Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yes.